When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world, man. We're with Deion, man. How you feeling, man?
What's good?
Wait, first off, do you prefer Dante or Deion?
Dante.
Dante, right?
Neon, Deion, double D,
man. Right.
Got a lot of, you know, nicknames.
Nah, because this guy right here has kind of like conditioned me in like into thinking your first name is actually Deion.
Yeah.
It's not.
That's because that's how I refer to him.
He referred to me as Deion. That's my last name. So.
But by this guy, we're talking about Mel, who's been here before. You feel me? And he was on the Monday show, I believe, a few months ago or a month ago.
We did episode 5, the Monday show in the old building.
God damn, bro.
A couple weeks later, I came back, brought a Tory Hart on for the interview that got done, which I thought that was like a great interview. I don't know if a lot more people need to probably look into it.
You did
a great job on that when y'all content was funny.
Man, definitely. And we brought the sport aficionado of No Jumper, the sports guru, Mr. Joshua A.
Yes, come on now.
I don't want to say your, you know, full government.
I feel like we need the ESPN thing for Joshua. Because he don't pop out like that too much. You know what I'm saying?
No, Flacco asked me to hop on with you guys, and I couldn't say no. He has never asked me to do this one, and I was a little excited to do it.
Oh, that's fine. I appreciate it. That's love.
I want to get back in the swing of things, too. Get some sports content on the channel.
Yeah.
Yo, listen, like, we should definitely, like, do more, but, like, that's a different, you know, like, subject, right? But, yo, introduce us, man.
Yo.
Mr. Dante Deion. Who are you, man?
Yo, what's good? I mean, Dante Deion from Rialto, California, the Inland Empire, not too far from here. Where do we start is the real question.
I was going to say, because it sounds
where, awful. Yeah, where do we start is the real question. Nah, but man, I'm excited, outgoing, you know, always up for it. I'm turned, you know, real. I try to stay, you know, humble, down to earth.
Yeah. You know, Boise State alumni.
Wait, hold on. But no, I'll give you a little background. I started playing football when I was 8 out in the Inland Empire growing up.
The IE.
Woo. Yeah, so I went to Summit High School. That's in Fontana. And then from there, I got a scholarship, went to Boise State, played there for 4 years, and then
dominated.
You know, there. Did my thing. Like you say, leaving legacy. Mm-hmm. I was able to leave my legacy up there. Still got good ties with those guys up there. And you know, playing on that Smurf turf was special. You know, that blue turf. Like nothing else. So from there, I went undrafted to New York. I was with the New York Giants from 2016 to 18. And then from there, I got released, was down, got called from the LA Rams the end of 2018. And then I've been there the last 4 years. And it's just been nothing.
A blessing, man.
Yeah.
How was growing up in the IE? Or growing up in, no, you're from a Rialto.
Rialto?
Yeah.
But that's in the IE, right?
Yes. Yeah. The Inland Empire is like a whole, you know, yeah. Gang of city.
It's a lot of people that come from out of Rialto that are like quiet as kept. Like Kanye got people down there. Jazzy Faye come from out of there. A lot of football players.
I was going to say, aren't there a bunch of football players that come out
no
of there?
No, Hit Boy.
It's a lot of people.
It's love out in the IE, you know. And then even coming up now, it's a lot of younger dudes that are now on big platforms, you know, that's at universities, the Ohio States of the world.
Oh, wow.
You know, Alabama, Clemson, they got these guys all over the country now. And it's been exciting to see it grow. And I feel like we are part of the staple of that, you know, helping the community grow with sports and through everything we be doing.
Man, how was your upbringing, man? In other words, folks want to know, man, how was the streets, man?
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm the youngest of four boys. So, you know, me, my other brothers, my mom, you know, it's just, you go, you take your ups and your downs with it, you know. Circumstances, they don't make you, you know. You can't let them define you. They might want to say single-parent households, you're going to end up this way or you're going to turn out this way, looking in your future, and it's like, I'm here to tell you and prove to you that you can get over that. You can do more than what they say you can and break those barriers, you know, through the ups and the downs, and having a tight circle and people around you that really support you is big.
Of course. Now, was your father there at some point and then left, or was that nigga just never there in your life?
Yeah, so like me, we got a good relationship. He's still in my life now, but like it's cordial. It's not like he was in the household, but you know, we still communicate here and there and all that. So,
man, now you got into football at 8. Was you one of the only siblings that got into football, or was it just a football family?
So I got into it when I was younger, then a couple years later, then, you know, my mom was able to afford my older brothers too to play, because, you know, that's how it goes. I mean, it's four boys. She can't afford, and what income can she afford four of us to play these sports and, you know, be able to pay for it? And just coming from that, knowing that is half of why and what drove me now is what I do now in football and through sports and my older brothers and all that.
Yo, facts, because you're actually like 5'9", right? 10-ish.
Yeah.
So I would assume you were probably like one of the smallest kids on the football field even back then, right? So how did you realize, damn, yo, if it here, like the first time playing football at like 8 years old, was you just a natural God-given talent, which is out here like just like causing havoc, or did you kind of grow into that?
Well, like at 8 or 9, like you guys are more or less the same size too, right? There's not this like huge height weight thing.
Yeah, so he's right. So like at 8, 9, but you got to think when I was 4 or 5, I was still trying to get out there and play with like my older brothers in the front yard or in front of the apartment complex. Like we playing throw up tackle, you out there, they like, nah, you too small, bro. You got to watch this. You got to sit this one out. Mm-hmm. So just going through that before I got my chance to now, yeah, I'm with some kids my age. Y'all been telling me I can't play with y'all because y'all older, but I'm with some kids my age now. And that's just how I start growing.
Not facts. Now, growing up in IE playing sports, was you ever, I guess, tempted to go another route, or was sports just your main focus always?
Well, that's part of it. That's part of life in different areas, but that's part of it. Like, sports was it, but there's people around you, there's influences, other things that can deter your path, but you don't necessarily even know you're on that path. You doing it out of the love of the game. You're not like, I'm about to make this a career for the rest of my life. When you that, you know, 12, 11, 13, 14, now you're getting into high school. Like, you're not thinking of it that way. But like I say, them circumstances, you just stay focused, you stay on your grind, and you got a support system that can help you. It's real big.
And that's another thing that he's always had, like a good quality that he has, like his determination and focus to something. When he pretty much like sets his mind to something,
his energy is crazy. Yeah.
He'll go all the way through with it. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people don't have like the follow through to get things done and everything. And that's like, since I've known him, that's never been a problem with him.
Yeah, I call that being relentless. You know, be relentless.
Was that determination and everything one of the reasons you wanted to get out of state, go to Boise State? Were you trying to get as far away from here as possible to get away from those distractions, or were you looking for any opportunity?
Yeah, so my thought process was like, I went and took an unofficial visit up there. When I first got like in communication with them and they were like, hey, we're thinking about offering you. I'm like, Boise State? What is that? Where is that? Idaho? Oh, snap. What? But I've always seen the blue turf the blue on the turf. Yeah, I've always seen that, right? So. Yep. Get up there, and then I'm like, whoa, this is different. It's a college town. There's a support system. It's like the biggest thing in the town. The coaches, everything, the atmosphere, what they was preaching, being an underdog, blue collar, chip on your shoulder, like their principles and stuff they were preaching. I was like, yeah, that's along with my life. I'm always counted out. I got to grind. I'm undersized. I got to go get it. I got to prove to everybody, but not so necessarily everyone else, but to myself that I could do this and I'm good enough to do it. So going to Boise State was like going from a big city, you know, being able to go to LA to IE to a straight college town. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh yeah, so that feel, yeah, definitely get away. Like, it was dope. Like, yeah. And I always had that thought process. I want to get out and go to college. Like, I want to go. Yeah,
and that's
go
what
to
I was gonna say. It's like I'd be totally different. Yeah, like I to just California to mm-hmm. Idaho.
Like, yeah, like oh, I'm going to college, y'all. I'm like, going off.
So. Another person that went to Boise from Rialto, Ryan Clady too.
Yeah, so Ryan Clady. Yeah. Yep, shout out Clady.
Yo, who's that?
Ryan Clady, he from Rialto. He got a little brother named Chris Clady. Mm-hmm. He went to Boise, won a Super Bowl with the Denver Broncos. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, he grew up with some of my people and them out there in Rialto.
Yeah.
Cool dude.
Now that's crazy. Now in high school you had like a bunch of receiving yards, rushing yards, and defense as well. So I guess like what kind of led into the choice for you to say, yo, I'm not gonna, you know, stick with offense. I'm gonna, you know, be like a defensive back when you know I go to college.
So, like you say, it was that came down to that decision making of now I'm thinking about my career. Now I'm looking ahead to the future. Like, do I see myself being able to last X amount of years playing receiver at my size?
Yeah.
Possibly, but I'm not 4'2". Gotcha. You feel me? I'm not 4'2". So I just and then I'm always like, I'll definitely go rather hit somebody. I'll go put on my pads and I'll go hit you before
physical.
You know, I let you
hit me.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
that was really my decision.
Nah, that's kind of crazy, man. Cause yo, like, I'll be real, man. Like, if I'm somebody who is, let's say again, I told them, right? Seeing him made me to say, yo, like, I can probably make the NFL like one day. Feel me?
Wasa also thinks that he can beat any WNBA player.
A WNBA player, yeah. Come on, yo.
Nah, I know some of them, man. I know some of them. I've heard
Flacco call himself a world-class athlete. I don't know how many times.
I mean, you got to see him move.
Nah, you see, like, and he's confident because he got the quote-unquote best of me in, like, the route running, right?
Ooh, hold on, what happened?
I had a piss-poor quarterback.
So y'all like the 101 up.
You want to pull it up, Riley?
Yeah. I got open every play.
Josh Pettis.
I got open every route.
Yeah.
Wide open every route. The piss-poor quarterback couldn't let it go, man. You feel me? You know,
he had a great quarterback, by the way.
Shout out to Vel, man. That's my guy, man.
So he had a good quarterback.
No, so pretty much, so and I'll play all, you know, just all offense, and he played all defense.
Okay.
And the quarterback didn't let it go, man. So watch that.
Okay. I also had slides on and threw him off and played in socks. Right.
Look, bro. Yo. I'm telling him to run. Watch this first throw right here. I'm telling him, just throw that shit on my. Watch, open. Come on, bro.
Okay, that was come a bad on, practice. That was a
come
bad
on, bro.
Okay.
But watch the second one. Okay. Watch this cover.
Yeah, hey, bro. Y'all need me to be QB the next one.
Oh, I'm going to bad pass.
Oh, that's a good play. No, he finished the play.
Your hands touched that. He
finished the play. Hey, that's a good. Bro, he finished the play.
If it's an out route, right? Oh, you. Bomb that,
yeah,
right?
You gonna sit here and argue with an
enemy? You talking about, yeah, okay, hit you in stride.
He threw it short. Come on, man. Like, see? Come on, bro.
It's okay. Over. You see what they do?
Yeah, that's
gonna argue with an NFL player. Mm-hmm. Cause he, see what I mean? That's what they
because
do.
Because he's confident that he could beat you, too.
Yo, dude,
bro. Now? Bro.
Not right now. Nah, look.
As soon as he looked at him back there, he said,
give me the
I could have made it.
If I train for 5 months, like, he not, you know.
That's all you need.
Let's vlog the process.
That's all you need. Yeah, five months.
That was like 2-3 months ago, and I think you gained weight.
He did.
That was probably July.
He definitely did. He put some pounds on. He told me he was gonna start hitting the gym and
he's been working
out, dieting, everything. Like,
but off of me though, let's get back to Mr. Again, right? Now, at what stage though did you like realize, yo, listen, like I might be nice enough to really like make the NFL, like. Was it high school or was it college?
Like the process that I took in high school that now I'm able to say that it led me through to the NFL,
yeah.
But not knowing at that moment, but it was through high school. It was the studying of the plays. It was learning different defenses. It was learning offenses, knowing blocking assignments, knowing everybody else's job as well before I even got on the field. So that process then led to college and the success I had in high school. I was able to do it again in college because of the process, not just oh, the results. Yeah, I was up there snapping. Yeah, I was snapping, but it's not that easy. It wasn't easy. Yeah, it wasn't easy. It was just like that grind of every day. This is my process. This is my dedication is how it led me to the NFL.
And you think that like that longevity came more from the mental game than, you know, the talent? Because like you said, Flacco, I don't, you know, there's an obvious weight differential.
Yeah, of course.
I think a natural talent, but he was talking about studying plays and everything. And that's where I heard you
was not going to go.
That's where you were at.
Yeah, I was done.
Because that's so much of football that's so different than I think any other sport is how mental and how all the knowing all those assignments on both sides of the ball, every single play, knowing all those audibles. Yeah. All those
so a lot, lot that go into it, man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then you catch people who they tell you, well, I don't do all of that. But then, like you say, the longevity side, it comes up, it catches up because it's going to show. You know, just look at critical moments and critical games and like ask that, but hey, how did you all week? I've been talking about it. Ooh. And then it came to fruition. Like
I studied the plays. I was waiting for it. Yeah. I knew
he liked it. As soon as he slid this way, they had the back week. They had X cut. Oh, I knew when they have X cut. Usually they got him out wide every time. As soon as they cut him down. Now I know this is what they trying to do. This is their mindset. And you're going against, like, offensive coordinators, quarterbacks, playing defense. That's the part I like about it. It's like those dudes are trying to dial you up at corner. Like, oh, we got number 21 or we got him. Let's call this play because we're going to get him.
Yeah.
And then you shut it down and you, like, you look up like, oh, y'all tried that? Okay. Okay. That's what y'all tried. All right.
Wait, though. So what was your like, biggest weakness going into college?
I wouldn't say it's a weakness. It's just my size. That's what they put on you. You get what I'm saying? That's why I'm here to show that the barrier is more than just saying, I see him. Oh, he can't do it. Mm-hmm. Because like you say, you look at me now, this is 6 years after playing in the NFL. I was getting this in high school that you were too small.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting coaches and stuff telling you, he's too small. Not even seeing like, oh wait, we got the potential to put weight on him or get him stronger, getting like nothing.
And that's got to be the best feeling though, to like at every level be told something about yourself and then disprove the people wrong at every level until you get to that class, so to speak, of like it's only so many people that make it here.
Yeah,
you know, like that feeling. It has to be like such a feeling of like satisfaction, just general.
Vontae Smith, he was like 6'1" though, so like that's
a little taller.
Yeah, right. So like even though he's small, like they could build him out. You were probably like about five seven and a half. And then grew because you're like
about 5'9" and a half, 5'10" and a quarter.
5'8".
When I got all my pads on, about 5'11". I'm out there like, and so it's not about the height either, because then it's like I could jump. I go high point the ball. That's one of the biggest things about football that you see now. Look at the DBs. Yeah, you could play through the hands, but your risk factor, you got to go play that ball at times. Like you have to. Yeah, you play through the hands a lot, get them breakups. That's good, but some of them times, bro, go make the play. You got to go play that rock.
Yeah.
Go get it back.
Now let's like deep dive into your college career, right? So how was that? Did you like come out just starting right away, or did you like have to work your way on?
So naturally, like you say, I stepped on campus, the lightest dude on our team. Boom. Already our strength and condition coach, he owned me. Ah, well, we got to put some weight on you. We got to, I'm just like, I ain't even here yet. We got to do this. So my freshman year, I started out the season redshirting. So I was redshirting, and then we got to a point where I was still making plays in practice all through fall camp, all in practice. And if you know, so when you redshirt, your scout team goes against your number one offense. So every day in practice, you the one giving the looks for your number ones that's going out there that put the performance on game day. So I'm still making plays against them. And then towards the end of the season, someone got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And coach was like, I know you've been redshirting, but do you want to burn it? I feel like you give us the best chance to come in here. You'll be the nickel. You come in on third downs. You give us the best chance to try to win this Mountain West Championship because we're in line for it. And I'm like, say less. This is what I came here to do. Mm-hmm. Bet, let's go. And then from that point, I've been playing ever since. So my redshirt freshman year, at the end of the season, I played five total games, four or five games. I had a pick in one of them. Mm-hmm. And then come in sophomore year, boom. And then I took the starting job, and then I was starting since then.
Yeah, it's just been a wrap.
And just been, yeah, just been going crazy since. I mean, it's been ups and downs with, like, you know, injuries and things like that that you can't control. But other than that, like, play on the field has just been all lights out.
And off the field, too. Like, you know, yeah, like a lot of the biggest names in the NFL, like, love this dude. You know what I'm saying? Him and Odell Beckham been like that. Him and Jalen Ramsey, like, all these guys. So, you know, when he did Hard Knocks and everything like that, like, you can see, like, he just, like you said, his energy, you know? He has, like a electric personality. Like, people are just drawn to him. So, it's a lot of things, even when it's not involved, like, play, that he brings to the environment that gets other people going and et cetera, you know?
Yeah, big facts. Got to bring that every day.
Yeah.
All right, before, because I definitely want to get onto the Hard Knocks stuff, but what is it about the blue turf? What's so special about it? Is it a distraction? Do people get mesmerized by it, or is it really just like a gimmick?
So what I would say is it's a mystique to the blue turf. Dun, dun, dun. No, but hey, the blue turf is just, it's just something about it. It's hard to explain. Maybe I could take y'all to a game. You know, we could go see one of the Boise State games. Hey. Go up there and actually get the feel, the atmosphere, and everything about it. Yeah, you got to get that experience, because I'm telling you, it's just something about it. And other people who come to play, like you say, we get in their heads with it. They're like, it's a true story. The Mountain West had banned Boise State from wearing blue jerseys with blue pants in conference games on the blue turf. Because of you're blending in, you could create plays to blend in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, imagine, you know what I'm saying? So that's a true story. And it's like, that alone means you're in somebody's mind.
I feel like they should be allowed to wear those. That's the other team. You just need to be on your game.
Yeah,
like,
you got it.
Everything can be used as an advantage. Like, I don't see that being nothing illegal. You know what I'm saying? If it's bothering, if it's you're visually impaired, you got other problems to worry about.
Like, come on now, Oregon's colors on they green grass.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, you be like, hold on, they blended in.
Never had a problem.
That's actually a really good point.
Nah, man. Wait, hold up though. So and he actually mentioned Jalen Ramsey. Be honest, bro. If you were 6'3", do you feel like you would be an NFL superstar right now?
I don't think he's worried about what he is.
Yeah.
At this point in his life, man.
Right. And that's the thing. That's what everybody will always want to know. Like, if you were taller, do you think this? But if I was taller, my life, it wouldn't have went how it went. My mindset probably wouldn't have been the same. I wouldn't have been like, all right, I'm going to show y'all when we get on the field. Every time I get out there, I'm going to show y'all. My mindset might not have been like that. I might have just been like, I'm that dude, dog. Y'all can't mess with me.
Just to add, like, you know, he an NFL superstar either way it goes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, just on the point of coming from where he come from, being able to be dedicated enough to stick everything out, overcome the odds that was placed in front of him, make into a league of people where only a certain amount of people even gonna ever make this league.
Yeah.
With his size and everything else that, like, people would try to, you know, downplay or play against him or whatever. So, like I said, that's one of the things that I find surreal, just even knowing him and being around and everything. I'll have those moments still, like, you know, my guy is in the, like, he plays in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because we all grow up playing football, watching football, and we all had the moments, the sideline pop, the killer man.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was what we all wanted to do or thought we'd be able to do at some point. So just for him being able to actually accomplish all those things that he set out for himself to be able to do, that's where I look at his, you know, his stardom comes from right there.
Listen, that's absolutely true, right? Just coming from where you come from, making the league, it's a big accomplishment. Now, I feel like the height improvement would have probably, you know, have got you more opportunities, right?
Yeah.
Meaning, like,
right? Yeah, no doubt. Early off, for sure.
Yeah,
but recruitment, that's what I'm saying. Like, recruitment would have been different. My process would have, all that would have been changed.
Five-star recruit, of course.
Yeah, like, you know, all that type of stuff would have been different. But it's like you say, even my path, being able to cross paths with some of the NFL greats now that, you know, Aaron Donald?
Yes.
My football career has crossed paths with Aaron Donald.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, Jalen Ramsey, you know, it's like their stories, all these people, is just like my path has crossed paths with theirs. And that's what's truly special as well. Like, you know, winning with those guys and, you know, being able to bring winning and championships to an organization.
Yeah. Now, give me your favorite moment in college and then we're going to transition into the NFL?
Okay. Oof. Favorite? Oof. That's tough. Probably I had a pick six against UConn. And it was against this dude named Jeremy Davis. He went to the NFL, but I just know, remember leading into that week, they were, you know, talking and hyping him up. Mm-hmm. And then, like, we had a play where he ran a slant. We both kind of caught it at the same time.
Yeah.
Boom. And I ripped it from him. Spun out. Went for six. Took it for six. And that pick six moment, I'm like, it's just little moments like that, I think, are why I come and do what I do. Because it's like, y'all been talking all this size this whole time. Mm-hmm. But yet, I'm able to create plays like this out here on this field amongst mm-hmm. everybody.
Not facts, but now you graduated, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now, did you expect to get drafted to the NFL?
No, so I went undrafted.
Yes.
Yeah, but did I expect?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I was like, after my whole process pre-draft, I went on a 30-man visit, like just seeing the talent and seeing the stat numbers and all that, like, I'm like, okay.
I'm definitely
I got a chance. I for sure got a shot. Like, after my career put up against some of these other dudes, I'm like, I for sure got a shot. Like, yeah, let's go. Yeah. But
yo, but like, I heard, like, they be selling dreams to niggas, man. Mm-hmm. Like, they be like, yo, listen, bro, we love you, but we going.
Right? Yeah, right? Nah, they have. Yo. Hey, there are teams that will do that, that will tell you, hey, we going to take good. You in a second. Man, you get picked up in the six.
That's the recruiting process.
Until they do that, so if some of those guys slip out of the draft, mm-hmm. you could get them undrafted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They feel like, nah, this coaching staff showed me love, mm-hmm. so that's where I'm going to go if I slip through the cracks.
Yeah.
You know?
Right, I mean, there's only so many guys drafted through the draft.
Yeah.
You have undrafted guys. You have all training camp. Mm-hmm. A lot of opportunities out there.
Yeah. So they try to build their whole scale of the roster like through that way. Like,
how man. But like, once you didn't get drafted, first off, was that night rough? Like, was you like, damn? Like, look at, like, when you tell, like, especially our like grandmamas and aunties who don't even know nothing about the NFL.
Yeah.
But you say, yo, I might get drafted. Oh man, bro, they probably all like selling their houses. Yo, we rich. We rich. So was that night tough, man? Like not being drafted, or did you already know, like, I'm gonna get on somebody's roster?
Yeah, so like I was saying, before the process, before I like the draft even happened, I went and visited with the New York Giants, and mm-hmm. they had brought me in on a visit. And I kind of got a scale like, oh, these coaches, boom, they trying to see what you know, playbook-wise, can you fit in here, that type of thing, boom. So when the draft came, I'm watching, it's going, I'm like, okay, hold on now. But I've been getting calls, even before the draft, I've been getting calls from teams, and I'm like, what? I've been getting 15, I just got 15 calls before the draft. Oh, hold on, somebody gonna grab me, somebody mm-hmm. got to, like, boom. But when it didn't, right, I promise you, like, right as the draft was in, like, the seventh round, boom, Giants call, like, hey, we're done picking in the draft, but we would love to get you up here as an undrafted free agent, get you signed, woo. And I'm like, yeah, that's where I'm going right away. And then, funny story, 2 minutes later, the coach called.
Oh.
Yeah, like.
Too late.
Yeah, too late. The coach called, like, hey, Chuck Pagano, he like, you signed with anybody yet? Oh, I'm like, yeah, I already signed. He's like, oh, I'm a dollar short, nickel lace up. Yeah, like, damn. But he was like, all right, I'm happy for you and good luck type shit. So,
man, but like, let's go to, well, first of all, was you invited to the NFL draft combine?
No. So I just did a pro day. I just did a pro day up at Boise.
Yeah, right. Because like my like next question was going to be, I think Colin Kaepernick did like a short little skit, right? And like he compared like the draft combine to like a slave auction, I think, or right?
What you're talking about. Mm-hmm.
What's like your thoughts on that, right?
Yo, hey, I ain't got no thoughts on that.
Hotspot.
Right? I ain't got no thoughts on that right now.
Hey, nah,
no comment. That's all on him. I didn't. Like I said, I didn't go to the combine. I didn't experience. I'm not. I
What I will say in place of that as representation is we love the league.
Yeah,
of course, the league is nice.
We love the league. Yeah.
You know, Deion has been blessed to continue playing and having success.
Of course,
and being a champion. Yeah, you know, we're very happy.
And bring blessings.
So like past that controversial take, right? How about like taking a knee?
The politics
that came and gone.
Reply past that, right? So just like speak on, I guess, like how did that affect like teams? Like here. So you got drafted in 2016, right?
Yeah, well, undrafted. Side, right? Yep.
I think Colin Kaepernick was 2016, right?
Yeah, my rookie year.
Yeah, right. So how did that affect the teams you were on? Like the whole, should we need, should we not need?
Yeah, 16. Yeah. That was with the Giants. Really? Yeah. So like you say, we was going to a game. We at the game. We did our warm-ups. Mm. And we came inside. Coach like, hey, bring it up, everybody. We like, what's going on? He's like, all right, guys. I respect everybody. I know what's going on. It's your decision if you want to, you know, do that or not.
Yeah.
And boom. And then we was just like, oh, all right, boom. And then we went and played a game. And we've been focused on the game the whole time. Yeah. Nobody even spoke on that until the game day. And it's kind of like you can't focus on it at that moment.
Right.
Like that's not the moment in time my mind needs to be on that and be getting my energy and effort
preparation
to.
For this
yeah,
game
I've
today.
Been doing something that I've been working for my whole life to go out there and put on display. And they talking about this. You're like, oh, no, you know?
Yeah, so, it feels like it's a bigger issue for everyone. Yeah. But the players who are actually just doing it.
Mm-hmm. And that don't necessarily mean two things can't be true, you know?
Yeah.
But just at the same time, like, maybe not the best timing, you know what I'm saying? If you ain't had time to think about this and it's just, like, dropped in your lap and you've been preparing for this team the whole week, that's not really something you want to have in your mind while you're trying to focus on your assignments, you know?
Yo, like, I'll be real. At that time, it seemed like a super big deal, but I can't even like recall anybody who nailed or didn't nail now.
Right? Because some people did it first, and then they made it a big deal, and then more people kneeled, and then everyone started kneeling, and then they just decided, I think, like after a year or two, that they weren't going to.
Well,
you
know when they really let up off of it was when Jay-Z took the position with the NFL to do the halftime, the
You're
Super
right.
Bowl.
Was that 2-3
because
years
he
ago now?
Yeah, and at the little conference meeting with them, he was the one that was like, well, you know, we're past kneeling at this point. And you know how Jay is like super duper impactful to the culture. So a lot of people just took that as all right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like and just let it go from there. So
nah, yo. Listen, like how that story came about though with Jay-Z telling his homie, nah, don't do that. That was crazy, man. You feel me? Nah, man. Nah. Listen, man. We love Jay-Z here, man. Nah, but okay. So now, Giants, right? So like, you spent 2 years there, right?
Yeah, 2.5.
Now, when did you like? I guess realize, damn, yo, like they're not really giving me any play time here. My time might be coming to an end.
So it was actually the opposite. It was more like I started gradually getting more the play. Yeah, I started gradually getting to go, and then. Now it's kind of like, well, they was rebuilding.
Was this during the party boat?
Yeah. Yep. So that was the party boat happened in 16, my rookie year.
Okay, yeah.
Then the next year happened.
I love the correlation.
I started to get some more.
It's during that time.
On that party boat.
So that all during that time, you know, and then obviously there was GMs, firehead coaches, position coaches. So when that happens with organizations, you kind of need a rapport of, well, who brought this guy in? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you kind of not in their foreseeable future, then you might be on the chop block being undrafted, not being a guy who was drafted there.
Yeah.
And that's part of the game and part of the business people might not know. And I had to witness it and go through it. So like I said, I started playing a little more, started getting a little more ops. Mm-hmm. And then they just like, okay, we're doing this. Like, and that same year they traded Eli Apple, who was our number 10 pick, and you feel me? So he was a number 10 pick at corner on the team that the same year I was undrafted. So obviously our play got to get compared or, you know, level. Oh, they, you know, we became real good friends too, but it's just like, you know, they said, oh, well, they released me, then they traded him that year. Like they did a whole lot of stuff that you can't control.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? A whole bunch of stuff you can't control. It's the literally the nature
of it. Nature of the business,
yeah. And then, boom. So, that was like week 7 of 2018.
Yeah.
And then I was out another 7 weeks.
Man, wait till, so like when like you got signed initially, what was your first, like, I guess, like, take home, like, the big check?
It was like,
you really want to put those numbers out?
No, they need to know this because I was undrafted. Yeah. I was undrafted. I was, you know, I got $4,700.
Really?
That was my first big, like, oh, yeah. Got a couple bands. Like, said, yeah, look.
Yo,
so me.
Yo, wait. Is he your brother, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, come here. Yeah. Come here.
Yo.
Just real quick, man, because, like, I feel like this is important. We got to talk to the family, right? Because, like, he probably had conversations with the aunties, the nephews, who thinking, you already a millionaire.
Yeah.
Bro, be honest, right? When you found out that your brother was in the league, was you like, yo, we rich, like, we out of here, man. Like it's over.
Not necessarily. I already knew he had to still grind it out. It wasn't like he was, you know, top draft pick or nothing, but it's like we in a way better position than we was just in, though. Sure.
Yo, so like, did you ever have to explain to like the family? Cause probably he can't probably do it, right? Cause you know, did you ever have to explain to the family, bro? Like this nigga just got signed, bro. Like he not on yet, bro. Like he not rich.
Yeah, nah, facts for sure. Like some of the fam, even some of the homies, you feel me? It's like, you know, at that time, you know, I'm chopping up with some of the homies and shit. You got niggas like, oh, you know, little bro just woo woo woo. Yeah, that's crazy. They like, look at his salary. Look how much. Yeah, I'm like, damn, niggas looking like.
Pocket line.
I didn't even know you could do that. I didn't, at that time, I didn't know. Crazy. You know, you could look up how much niggas really sign for and all that. Yeah, man. Niggas is doing it. Like, look, hey, little bro just, we all like.
Oh, man.
That type of shit. I was like, damn, that's crazy. Like, yeah. Man. Show me something new.
Oh, wait, right. So what was you, okay, so like, what was like your first like big purchase like that rookie year?
Probably my first Goodies chain when I got my brand on the chain in 2016. Yeah, I got my Goodies on the chain. But I've been telling my agent in finance, I'm like, hey, whatever we do, hey, I got to get this Goodies chain when we get right. I was like, So that was my first thing I got was my Goodies chain.
Oh, wait, so like.
Like big purchase.
Wait, so like you came into the league like with your own brand?
Yeah.
Now, I think like LeVar Ball like has kind of like coined the term of yo like we the first to do it. I think Lonzo did it. So you actually was the first to do it.
No, yeah, you can check the paperwork. My brand in 2014, like but me and then like some other players like we start not nobody's dad, nobody. No, our mindset was on that. You feel me? Not somebody else thinking for you or none of that. It was like, hey, but what I will say what inspired it was we used to have a whole bunch of speakers come talk to the team all the time and everybody preached the plan B, what's your backup plan? Everybody's not going to go to the league. Right. And I'm like, well, let's figure out how we could still in-house it. We look where we're at right now in these seats. We're at a university. We're already, you know, making strides. So let's try to in-house that and let's bring that together and let's invest in ourselves. And like they say, invest in yourself, food, working out for football. Well, how do you do that on the business side? Let's get that together so we can invest in ourselves.
Man, yo, like, it's so dope, right? Because even, listen, you're, like, bro, right? Like, came in with the water. I'm talking about, like, Cannon himself, you feel me? So, like, was he always, like, the right hand to, like, all you know, to, like, all the ventures and shit?
Yeah, like, bro, he been doing stuff before me. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, really?
Yeah, he been on ventures
the
and stuff.
The hustler.
He been doing stuff before me, like, so it's kind of like, you know what I'm saying, I seen that growing up, like my older brothers, you know, getting to it and grinding, and it's like, yeah, I know that sports takes X amount of time. There is no you popping your freshman year of such and such, you could go to the league. No, you got 3 more years you got to go do. You go to the college. Ain't no leaving after your freshman year, none of that. You got at least 3 more years to put in. So just the time frame of things, you get an understanding of what type of work you're going to have to put in no matter what.
Of course. Now, like, before I, like, ask you this, right, I want, you know, and his, like, take on it. When you heard that bro got cut, we was like, oh, damn, bro. Like, oh, it's over, man. So when you heard that bro got cut, we was like, damn, bro. Like, it's we out of here, man. Like, it's pack up season or
I was living like
the edge of the seat.
Like,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
The whole ride.
Nice.
We are shit.
Hey, funny because niggas really be wanting to know, but it be like when it first happened, it's like fuck. But like we talk so much that I already know the politics and I know what I'm looking at when I'm watching TV and shit. You feel me? Even from the high school on down to the college shit, it's like he played Division I football. Yeah, his size, blah, blah. The nigga had 17 interceptions. Damn near broke the record at Boise State. On top of that, sticking some of the top receivers, Brandon Cooks and all type of niggas at that time. You feel me? So he come out the same year as a lot of big dogs that came out. So the top three corners in that draft that year had like combined like 7 picks coming out. You feel me? They all went first round, big money. He had 17.
Yeah. That's crazy.
So it's like,
yeah.
I mean, shit, I already know what we up against. So seeing him go to the league, undrafted, small, going crazy, sticking niggas we've been watching our whole life and shit. Players my mama know their names and shit. Like, oh, that's cool. Like, bro, sticking him right now in the game. Like, we just recording the fact. Like, look at this nigga lined up on Julio. Like, we recording the TV.
That's crazy.
Whether the ball come or not.
That's so surreal, man.
So it's like, we already kind of knew how to politics. So it was like the first time, like, fuck. We got to go crazy. Like, we talk all the time. So he's like, man, you know, they woo-woo, but I'm finna shake back. I'm finna woo on everything. Stay locked in, bro. Woo-woo. You know, we feed off each other, too.
Yeah.
You know, we trying to build something at home while he building away. So it's still a team effort. So
man, facts. Now, how do you feel, man? So first off, how did it happen? Like, how did they say, bro, like, we don't want you no more, nigga, leave?
Yo, yeah. So crazy as shit, though. Like, we just had played the Eagles. Boom. We played them. Then we come in after, so the game, come in, and then you go home. You got an off day on Tuesday. Everybody's off day is Tuesday. So you thinking, you know, okay, boom. Wednesday come, now you got to go in the building and start your week for the next week. Boom, same process, go in, get to park the car, hop out, just another day. Okay, y'all, boom, about to get my mind right. It's early in the morning, gonna go get it, You walking in, you walk through the door, you walk through the second door, and it's a guy called the Reaper.
I was gonna say your card didn't work to get in the door.
Yeah, nah, you get in there. Hey, you get in the building, and it's a guy everybody around the league labels the Reaper. So, boom, the Reaper right there. You, everybody, like, so I walked in with probably like 4 other people too. So you think I'm like, what's going on? Who you trying to, what's up, bro? Who you, Hey Dante, coach want to talk to you. Can you bring your iPad? Oh, you know it. Boom. So you said that. Hey, coach want to talk to you. Can you bring your iPad? That's turning in your playbook. Is turning in your playbook. So that's how it goes. And boom, you go up there. Then boom, you go to your locker, see if you need anything quick you want. I'll come get it later or I'll have them ship it. Boom, you go upstairs, go talk to the head coach.
Wow.
Have like a meeting, a little exit meeting like this. Like he tells you X, Y, and Z. In my case, it was, sorry, I don't really have any words for you. Like you've been grinding, you've been doing your thing. It's kind of out of my control. Oh, all right, coach, for sure.
So the owner wanted you gone.
It must have been, but the owner, and that's the thing, the owner wasn't even there when, usually you meet with the coach and owner. The owner wasn't even there when I got released. Like,
how'd you piss him off?
Bro, hey, but hey, like I said, it's not about that. That's a new owner.
It's a numbers game.
That's a new owner. Like, he probably don't even know my name. Like, who's this guy we got out here right now? Who brought him in? Oh, nobody's not. Like, there's no telling what it could be.
Nobody want to look bad either.
Yeah, nobody want to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If I gave you $10 million, I gave you $2 million to play, then this nigga coming in, this motherfucker,
$450.
And he going crazy. You got hurt. You ain't doing shit. Then we let him spend. All right, so who the dumbass in the building that gave him and him all the money? Okay, so guess what? You can't play. These niggas got to
they
gave all the money, bro.
That's true.
That's
a lot of politics.
Big facts. It's definitely politics when it comes to that. You know what I'm saying? And that's the nature of the side of the business that people don't want to speak on or they don't. But as players, you like, I can't get involved in all that. I just do what I got to do. You know what I mean? But understanding it is knowing. Like,
and as a player, like especially in the NFL, none of that money is guaranteed.
Yeah.
You're just now starting to see some of that with only like the biggest names. And, you know, you might be making money week over week. So I think that was huge that you probably had that entrepreneurial spirit and you already had this business lined up in your head that, you know, I think that you've just tried to probably make the most of it regardless. what your position was on the field. And those positions too, you might get cut. A lot of times, like, you're probably getting signed 2 days later, a week later too. You know, it's not the end of the road by any stretch.
Yeah, definitely. Like, to me, I feel like there's going to come a point in time where you just kind of know, all right, it's good. I'm going to go ahead and retire, or this is my time where you're not going to, but when you're in it and you know you still in it and you feel that and you grinding and work, you know you're going to get another shot somewhere to go prove to that organization, like, hey, yeah, I'm supposed to be out here.
How soon after did the Rams call?
7 weeks.
7 weeks? Yo, those 6 weeks must have been the longest. I mean, listen up, man. I'm calling the Jordan, talking about, hey, melt this shit down for me real quick. You feel me?
Yeah.
7 weeks.
Mm-hmm. 7 weeks.
Wait. So, like, you actually have an agent, right?
Yeah.
So, like, what was your agent telling you, like, in those weeks? Like, man, I'm trying, but they're not.
Yeah. So, really, your agent, all he could technically do is reach out. It's all up to the organizations. Yeah, you get a good rapport when you got multiple guys, but your agent doesn't do as much when you're not signed, right? They're waiting on a team to say, it has opened up, it is right for you, we want you to come and show that you could play. Mm-hmm. So during that time, he kind of, all right, you just stay on your grind and I'm going to do my thing behind the scenes, you know, whatever, okay. But then there's times where maybe 3 weeks later or something, he calling like, hey, I haven't really got any info. What do you think about the CFL? Like, you like, fam, I just was playing 3 weeks ago in an NFL game. Mm-hmm. Yep. Like, why are you panicking like this? You know what I'm saying? So, boom. So, like you say, mentally staying tapped is the tough part. Like, staying tapped during that time and just knowing that it's going to shake out, bro. It's going to shake out. Mm-hmm. Keep grinding. Keep on. Stay to that process. And then when the Rams called 7 weeks later, it was like 11, 12 o'clock in New York.
Really?
Yeah.
Like nighttime?
Nighttime. It's like almost midnight.
That coach must have been like watching tape or something, right? Right?
And that's the thing. It's like, you don't know. Something had to transpire in that time. Right. But also, they did just have an injury. I kid you not. Me and my fiance, we was watching the game, the Rams game. It was a night game. And a corner went down. He hurt his ankle. He ended up breaking it. They carted him off, and then I had got called. Like, I swear, we watched the game, and I got called from that team. Like, what? Mind you, we've been watching games every weekend. Like, who getting hurt? Oh, what's going on around the league? Like, we watching games every weekend.
Scouting it.
And then we watched that one, and it happened like that.
Yo, I know it's crazy, too. And you just mentioned, like, fiance. And the next thing I think that I was going to ask was about the hoes and the groupies, man. You feel me? Now, did you come into the league with a girlfriend, a fiance?
Yeah. Well, girlfriend going into the league. Yeah, we met my freshman year at Boise.
Ah, so he had all the hoes then.
Yeah. Back in the day.
Bro. Bro, listen, bro. Break it down for us, man. Was there just a new level of women tapped in since your brother got into the league? Was it just a new level of groupies, bro?
Look, there's certain shit I can't really speak on.
Oh, man. Or he's wifed up, too?
Yeah.
Man.
I got kids and shit. You know,
he got a girl. All right, man. Yo, these two guys was reading Bibles every night, right?
I wish. You feel me? We can talk about down there anything.
Nah, man. Facts, man. All right, so the Rams call. You're on the Rams now. And I think Josh actually watched Hard Knocks, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I wanted to know all about this. With Hard Knocks, so they're filming this like and airing it week of type shit. So there's a lot of pre-production that goes into it. Do they have like a roster of guys that they're just following around everywhere with a camera that are like on that bubble that you know that they're like pumping that storyline of like maybe he's going to make it, maybe he's not, really trying to like up the level? Because that's kind of the part you play, you know, got to play in that season of Hard Knocks. And haven't you watched enough episodes to know if you're getting featured that much that maybe
that it might be not good? Yeah, exactly. So initially, not really. Like initially, it's like your personality, you, we want to feature you on here. I'm like, come on now, it's Hard Knocks. I watched Hard Knocks my whole life, bro. Right. Okay, yes, yes, feature me, whatever you want. But also that I show you my confidence in myself. Like, mm-hmm. I know I'm a bubble guy. Like, I know going into agreeing before we even went to camp and all that, that I'm a bubble guy and I got the potential to be on here and get released for everybody to see. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Right. I know that. So I just, you know, I took that as another challenge. Like you say, I took that as like, okay, it's another challenge. Usually the person, mm-hmm. like you say, in my spot, get released. Well, I'm about to go out here and show Hard Knocks, show them these plays I'm making, right. and, you know, the work I'm actually doing. So that even if I do get released, oh, y'all seen the work though.
Right. All
this yeah, y'all seen. Mm-hmm. Everybody seen it. So that was kind of the mindset on it that I took. Like, mm-hmm. And then towards the end, like you say, then it start, hold on. Hold on, coach. You act a little different. What's right. up, bro?
We ain't talking that much anymore. So did you get any, like, more fame through Hard Knocks? Did you get any more, like, notoriety and, like, you know, being a bubble player, it's really hard to get your name known out there to any type of fan base, really. So,
yeah.
Did you find, like, Hard Knocks was that for you?
Yeah, I definitely think I stamped with, especially the Rams family. Mm-hmm. Like, the Rams family, like, everybody on the Rams now had knew me, hitting my Instagram up, Twitter. Like, now they know, oh, we do know Dante Dion. Like, he is on the team, actually. Even though it says he's been released mm-hmm. three times from yep. this same team, like, he's actually on here. And look, wait, the whole team messed with him. Wait a minute. Why does Aaron Donald have a relationship? Wait, why did these dudes? Oh, snaps. Hold on. He's a part of what's going on up there. And that, I feel like, was like one of the things I had to try to get out as a player. Like, yeah, of course I'm going to be even a little more extra now, a little more rowdy, a little more, but I'm already like that. Mm-hmm. So what they see, they kind of like, ah, he talking, he be loud, like, I'll be on that, but it's definitely going to get amplified because I want you to know that I take this approach and I still go out there and flip that switch to go out there with them grown men and go get it done on Sundays for everybody to see.
Man, yeah, like, I've never watched an episode of like Hard Knocks ever, right? But like, apparently though, like, whenever it's announced, legit every, like, Sports Channel, ESPN, Skip Bayley, they are talking about this like it's like the Broadway about to happen or something, you know?
Yeah, it's usually a big deal
because those teams are usually rebuilding. Mm-hmm. You know, they take a lot of time figuring out which organizations they're going to jump into. And it's like the first thing announced after the Super Bowl, and people are so hungry for football that it's like the first thing the fans can gravitate to and start bitching about, and arguing and debating. And that's really what they want.
Yeah, facts. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you see there. Yeah.
Our cousin J-Dub on there right now.
Yeah, Jamal Williams.
Shit.
Mm-hmm. He with the Lions.
Yo, let's speak on that, bro.
That was a good season, too.
Is he emotional, yo, like, in real life?
Yeah, hey. Look, so that's his. I played with him in high school. Yeah. He went to Summit with us, too. I've known Jamal since, come on now, we've been playing together, actual football together on the same team since we've been, like, 9, 10, running track together, doing, like, everything. So, like, that's his football side. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going to bring it out of him is football. So just seeing that now, it's like, yeah, the world get to see it now. That's mm-hmm. him in high school right there. We about to kill these guys. We about to go crazy. Let's go. Like, step up. But he a quiet anime, video games. That's him all day long. That's him. Like,
is he from the IE?
Mm-hmm. From the IE. Yeah.
Bro, how did an anime-loving dude come from the IE? Yeah, that's
from
crazy,
the IE,
right?
Man. Yeah.
He ain't no little nigga. Neither.
And he's not small. He's like,
he's about 225, 230.
He's a beast, though, bro. Like, he's a monster, bro.
And we almost went to Boise State together, but Boise, when they was recruiting us, Boise wanted him to play linebacker. So they kind of wanted us, like, okay, you play corner, you play linebacker, y'all come. But he's like, but we also play offense. Mm-hmm. He like, I want to play running back. Mm-hmm. And that's where he got his op at BYU to go play running back.
Man, but be honest though, right? When you see him like shutting up, like actually the tears coming up, was you like, come on, bro, you can't. Come on, man.
That's bro, he emotional. I know they like.
I know he felt that, man. I know he was like, come on, homie. You can't. Man, homie's going to see this, man.
Nah, that's Cuddy, though. You got to know Cuddy. Everybody, human beings, at the end of the day, you're doing something passionate. So it's like, if y'all niggas playing, then you know somebody gonna speak up. You playing with something that's feeding our family, feeding. Mm-hmm. You feel me? If you playing a little too much, ain't holding your weight, somebody gonna trip. It just happened to be him. You feel me?
Yeah.
Get a little emotional.
It's
with
so much that's involved and that goes into football, like you say, that people don't know and see. Mm-hmm. That is riding on week to week.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Not just this player that. No, everybody in the building.
You could be gone at any moment. Everybody out there playing hurt, bro.
Literally.
Everybody hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So you could really be injured to where you can't even provide for these next 8 weeks.
Man.
You know, so, they'll be playing.
So that emotion and that passion. But that's him. Like, even when we was young, he used to cry at practice maybe. And then be the best one on the next, winning the 100-meter dash, winning the 200-meter dash. Like, you like, bro, he just smoked everybody. But his training process, he was like,
it's
like.
Crazy. I feel like he has to be nice, right? Like for example, if y'all see one of the trash-ass homies cry, if you don't chill, because he's a beast and he's nice and he's 6'3" and 240, he'll really fuck some shit up. He can get away with that crying shit.
Because it's more, it's like where that. It's brought from. You know where it's coming from. Not like, oh no, man, toughen up, bro. Why are you crying? Because you didn't got, you lost. Like, it ain't that. You know it ain't that. And you know the mindset of it. So it's like, nah, that's all passion.
I'm sure
passion.
That shit on probably every team too. That's just us seeing that, you know, because they showed that. But I'm pretty sure it's a hella niggas on every team. They got niggas like that.
Not facts, man. Oh, wait. Was Todd McVay there when you came, or was it the other guy?
Sean McVay?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was there when I got there. He had got there.
Were you trying to think about Todd Gurley?
No, I said Sean McVay.
No, you said Todd McVay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yo, bro, it's the African in me, man. You know what I mean? I apologize, but wait, but Todd Gurley was there, right?
Yeah, Todd was there, too.
And be real, bro. Like, when you seen Todd Gurley, again, before getting to the team, I feel like his like second year where he's special. But when you got there, man, I think the cartilage issue was going on. Was you like, damn, bro, this ain't the nigga that I was watching.
So when I was with the Giants, we played him the year before he got injured. And like you say, we like, we cannot stop this dude. Mm-hmm. Like, what's up, bro? Different. We cannot stop you. Boom. And then when I got there, he was still the same. I got there when he got hurt. You feel me? I was there in 2018, like towards the end of the season. That was just when they had beat the Chiefs in that 54, 53 game type, whatever that was. So I had got there around that time, and that's when they were still going crazy. And then he had just had got hurt like during the playoffs around then.
Yeah, man. Now, I think in 2021, I think Lamar Jackson got hurt for y'all game, right?
He didn't play against us. Yeah.
Now, were you like in bed that night? Like, because again, I think a day before, it was still questionable.
Yeah, it was questionable.
Was you like, yo, I hope this nigga don't play, bro. I hope this dude don't play, man.
Hey, man. So I didn't see Lamar, you know, do a tear, bro. He's very special. He's nice. So, like you say, when it came out that he wasn't playing, I'm like, oh, yes, sir. Let's go. Let's go. Now our game plan and mindset too on like they passing concepts. Do we think they're gonna take as many deep shots? Are they gonna stick to their offense, or do they gotta cater to this quarterback now? And now that give us the upper hand. Like, we finna go attack them? Let's go attack them. And we about to be aggressive this game and just keep putting pressure and attacking. Like, so it did change your mindset. Like, yes, Lamar out. Yeah, only in that game.
Yo, here, right? So like, okay, so who is one offensive player, bro, that put you on your ass? Like, I'm talking about bro, it's crazy, right? Because right now, bro, even the quarterbacks are smacking shit. I see Josh Allen.
Well, Josh Allen,
he's different.
That's crazy.
Different, you know, he went to Wyoming. Mm-hmm. I went to Boise, so I seen him in his college days. You know what I mean?
Yo.
Mm-hmm.
It's them big white boys from the South, bro. They just build different. You know what I mean?
Well, I probably had like one moment. It was a screen. They ran a screen, right? Wide receiver screen. And the inside out flow was coming from inside out, and it was Kittle.
Oh,
Kittle didn't call me slipping. So it was the Kittle one. That's the only time I've truly just being like, blah, oh, what? Hold on, somebody did.
That's
got
crazy.
Me because, like, I'm looking down. I was breaking on the screen, and then he was coming inside out. and it kind of you get caught in that zone, like, yeah. Damn, I gotta just, dude.
How tall is Kittle?
Kittle pretty big. He's like yeah.
6'7"?
Yeah, he pretty big. Yeah,
he's pretty fucking big.
Yeah. Bro, and he's strong, man. God damn, yeah. He blindsided his brother.
Yeah, so he got your boy.
You know, we were sitting right next to George Kittle agent.
Oh,
we
real?
Talking to him all mm-hmm. game, so he like,
that's your brother. I just got her. Yeah.
Like, yeah, fuck you. It's
yo,
cool.
Bro.
Yeah.
I know the homies probably like, yo, where that truck parked at, man? That shit's crazy, man.
Nah, you know, that should be that the atmosphere be live, but you know, it'd be, you know, you got to make sure you're in the right section because it could be, you know, motherfuckers, it's a game. You know, fans is real emotional. So, you know, you be having motherfuckers, oh, weak ass, woo woo woo, or something.
Yeah.
You know, I always be, like, when I'm at the game, I keep in mind because we might be next to somebody's family. So if I see a player drop the ball, I ain't like, oh, weak ass nigga. Because it's like, you feel me? That could be his people's right there. He's feeding these people, bro. It ain't nothing like, I got a brother in the league. I want to see niggas ball out. I like the players more than the organization. So
did you learn that etiquette, though? Because I think it was like T.O. and who said, yo, like, I had to tell my mom to chill out, bro, because she was in, right? So, like, did you, like, learn that etiquette, or was it the first game we out here wilding out? You feel me?
Nah, it's like, you, like, for me, I learned that shit on the spot. Like, because, like, my first game would be, of course, tickets for my bro. So it's like, then we here with some of the homies, right? Mm-hmm. But we here off little bro. So you got the Rams versus Wooty Woot. But the homie is a fan of this team, so he like emotional and shit. Like, you basically want this nigga to smash little bro, but little bro got us here.
Yeah,
he, you know, he's a cash cow. He feeding us. You a fan big so chill. Much, you want to see a nigga you don't know that don't even know you or nothing.
Smash your brother.
Smash brother. Yeah. Here. You feel me? So I be crazy. Like, I learned that shit on the spot. I was like, damn, you know what? I won't come with y'all niggas no more because y'all fucking up my energy too. You feel me? Like, so,
nah, but that's facts, man. Now, like, on the Rams, like, who's a, you know, outside of the Aaron Donalds, the Cups, the like Dylan Ramsey, who's a player that, like, we won't believe how unbelievable they are just in practice?
Ooh.
Like a super athlete.
Ooh. Right, look.
Well, outside,
outside of myself, I'll say, that's tough. That's tough because there's so many guys that, like you say, that aren't getting shown on Sundays that are out there snapping, but that have been doing it for years. I'll tell you, I've been with that organization 4 years, so I've seen a lot of guys come in and out that really didn't shine on Sundays.
Yeah.
You know, but I will say there are dudes that are really going crazy in practice, really snapping, and we damn near just got to wait till they get they shine to know, but...
Yeah. Nah, like, I feel like us as the casual fans, like, I don't see, like, who, like, the real niggas are until Madden comes out, right? Like, for example, it was some dude in one of the Cowboys, man, like, 6'4", like, 96 speed in Madden, bro, a cornerback, like, a 61-1-1, like, overall. I'm like, what the, yo, who's the, yo, yo, how niggas 6'4", 96 speed ain't getting no burn in the league?
Yeah, but that's what people got to understand, bro. It's the best of the best. It's the best of the best.
And it's not just the
and it's not, yeah, it's numbers. Not just one aspect. Yeah. It's not one aspect that you got to be top tier in. It's multiple aspects that you're getting judged and critiqued off of that all got to build into you as one person.
Yo, speaking of Madden, though, man, how disrespected are you by your, like, Madden?
Oh, my goodness, bro. They disrespect me all the time. And on top of that, they don't even be adjusting it during the season for me because you're not a big-time player, so they're not going in and changing your Madden ratings. Man, I'm like, bro, you didn't just see that TFL I had. You ain't just see this pick. Come on, bro, boost it. Like,
No, bro, like, I knew that you were, like, special, right? Because, like, there was a almost – Like a pick, right? So, like, again, the ball is going out of bounds. Dude caught the ball and out of bounds.
Yeah.
Almost got your foot in, right? Yeah. I'm like, yo, how do you even make that play? Like, and that's how I knew you had to play receiver at some point, bro. Because, like, a catch like that is insane, man.
Yeah.
But we know you nasty, right? Now, name me one underrated player in the entire league.
Underrated player in the whole league, offense or defense?
Yes, offense or defense. Mad underrated.
Mad underrated. This is tough. This is tough because I'm defensive perspective, right?
You
get what I'm saying? But also I know there's, you know, wideouts that if you turn on the tape, he's cooking every day. Like, he's cooking people. Like, you got to watch out for this dude. I would say who was mad underrated coming into this, like, a Gabe Davis for the Buffalo Bills. He seemed underrated to me because I've been seeing the tape on him. He's been stretching the field. He big body. He's been making catches. He's been doing his thing. And now people are now starting to respect him. But he was one of one of them underrated people that be snapping for real for the Buffalo Bills.
Now flip that. Now again, you could say, yo, let my brother answer this. Who's the most overrated motherfucker that you heard? Like, again, like, yo.
Flacco.
You seen nine All Pros, Pro Bowls, but I'm talking about 50 commercials, and like, you play, bro, and you're like, damn, or like, nominate, like, for example, right? I think it was like Nnamdi Asamoah, right? Like, where like, he got traded. Bro was like an all pro and came on his squad and shit, like first practice, a tight end, Brent Salas, burnt him. Niggas like, yo, who is this, right? So, like, who's the one overrated motherfucker or toast to your brother? You feel me, man?
Yeah, look, what you got for me? Hey.
Overrated, man. The most overrated player, man.
Damn. Overrated, most overrated player, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Fuck. I'm going to have to go with a quarterback.
Yeah.
You have to.
I'm gonna have to go with a quarterback. They didn't hype. I don't know, man. It's been too many quarterbacks that's really been ass. I'll say like somebody that's in the league playing right now. I'll just go Baker Mayfield.
Yo, that was the first name
that came to your head.
Yo, Manziel, niggas like that.
Nah, listen.
Any
Cleveland
quarterback?
Nah, Johnny my nigga though. So, listen, man. I just felt like
you said in the league though. You talking about in the league though.
All right, in the league, Baker Mayfield.
Bro, I thought the same thing, right? Feel me? Again, this is common. We can just X Deion. You feel me?
Yeah.
Deion don't condone this.
I'm not in the league.
No, but like I think it's Baker for two, and then like Josh can also give his like overrated too, right? But I think it's Baker because yo, bro came into the league like talking trash, right? And like we just assume, like when I hear like for example, they will say, "Oh my God, yo, he got an edge. Oh my God, he is bro." If we do that shit, is yo, this nigga is cocky as motherfucker, cocky, right?
So out that motherfucker.
Yeah, bro. And bro, and to go number one overall, bro. Nah, man, I ain't see it, man. But Josh, who's your top overall?
Well, I mean, with Baker too, he's undersized. He's not a big quarterback.
Yeah.
He plays with an edge. I don't know if he's the most
edge is cockiness.
You can't.
You think he's the most overrated?
You can't throw the ball to OBJ that many times and he don't catch that motherfucker. Something wrong. He go right to the Rams and start going crazy. I don't know.
Where's he this year though?
Who?
OBJ.
Only because of injury. He would have been Super Bowl MVP. Yeah, if he did.
Injury, he'd probably.
Where's Baker Mayfield? Okay. Where's Baker Mayfield?
Yo, but.
Baker Mayfield's playing on the roster right now. He's got a starting position.
Hey, nah, that's true. Yeah. But I ain't gonna lie though, man. Like,
I got OBJ though.
You feel me? Again, bro.
I might take Baker.
You taking Baker over OBJ? I'm taking.
We want to go.
Exactly.
I'm taking OBJ. Overrated.
How?
OBJ overrated to you?
Are you saying he's overrated?
I ain't gonna lie to bro.
He took most of last season off, which is why he came to the Rams and playing for a contract. Obviously, things change a little bit. I think he's overrated.
Did you see Baker and OBJ game film compilation? How many times Baker Mayfield missed a wide open OBJ? That shit like 13.
But who made
long.
That? OBJ's dad?
It's still 13. It's on there when you look with your eyes, though. It don't matter who made it.
All right.
He put it out
Can we see the video of all the completions, though, too, and see what the weighted difference is of overthrows versus completions?
Yeah, but that film of 13 minutes of missing a nigga like OBJ is still
it's crazy.
It's because it's a lot of teams in the league that don't have a receiver as near as good as him, and they getting receptions and catches and yards. I'm not saying he got to do everything, but you should be able to hit a player like that, gang, if we playing.
No, right, so.
Especially someone like him who can go up and get the ball 10 feet over his head.
I see.
Radius. Catch radius, crazy.
I see like Josh's point, too, because, again, like, if we're judging OBJ as, he's a great receiver, of course, like, he's amazing, right? But like, people will say, yo, he's the most talented receiver of all time. Yo, he is this all-time juggernaut. I feel like before the injuries, he was for sure, like, I'm talking about for sure, like, Like, again, before like
the party boat is really kind of the when
party. It dipped a little. Yeah, bro, Josh Gordon, OBJ to me were like yeah. the best young players that I've ever seen.
Yeah, Josh Gordon was snapping.
Josh Gordon was crazy. They had some battles.
Yeah,
bro. All right, right.
But Odell is a generational talent. Like, you feel mm-hmm. me? You can't second guess it. And like you say,
cooking niggas.
Like you say, I get to see him in practice. I've seen him in practice.
Yeah.
You give me, you know, all them catches and routes he done ran in practice that y'all never got to see. You like, damn, if only we could translate that on some it's days. Like, yeah, that, you know, the days maybe he don't have a catcher and people like, what's wrong with but it's like, well, at practice he was cooking.
Cooper Kupp got like 300 targets. Right? So, yeah. No, right. But taking back to that 2021 team, right?
Mm-hmm.
First off, at what point did you realize, yo, we could probably win it all? Like, this shit is special over here.
I'll say it hit us when we got into that playoff game with the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to stomping on the Cardinals. We like, oh, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. It's on and cracking. Like, because the week before when we figured out when we lost to the Niners, yeah. but we won the division, mm-hmm. Niners got to go to Green Bay, we getting Arizona at home. Say less. This is our run. Man. That moment when we, that after that game, that Niners game, it's like, all right, y'all, let's go. It's lined up. Let's go. Yeah. We got to go get it. And that's how it kind of came to fruition. It was like, it's going to be tough, but we want this route. We wanted this route. We asked for this route. This mm-hmm. route right here, we wanted it. So we got to step up.
Now, like, because you guys actually made the Super Bowl, like, the year before, right?
2018.
Yes.
That's right.
Now.
If you lost against New England.
Yeah. I know. Now, now, Jared Goff. B-Roper, when did you realize, yo, this nigga is turkey. This nigga trash as fuck, man.
Yo, is that fair? Because you're comparing him to Matthew Stafford.
Right, you're like comparing him like
this nigga
Jared
garbage.
Goff's journey in like development. Mm-hmm. Like, people talk about quarterbacks' development and how they came into the league and
yeah.
what was around them, what coaches they had, and that's big for quarterbacks. Yeah. So if he didn't develop how he needed to, it's technically it's on him, but like you say, he's a number one pick. It's everything around going into him being that.
He
pick.
Has Sean McVay, dog. Like, what he need?
Yeah, but I
come on, dog. Like,
no, I'm saying, when you got
on Sean McVay, though.
But when you yeah. got a Sean McVay, like, then you know he's so smart that you got to execute at a certain level. There is there might not be no little razzle dazzle from on your side, but like maybe yeah. a dude who Matthew Stafford understanding the game so much in defenses, okay, I'll see what you say, McVay. I got a little edge too right here in this versus it just being like, okay, McVay, you said this, I got to go do this.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I got to go do this, what you said.
Like, yeah. Like, Jared's going exactly off the book, exactly what McVay's going mm-hmm. in his head, whereas Stafford's played in the league for, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, it's those, years. You know, those changeups because we do walkthroughs and all that before the game of looks we're going to see, defenses you're going to get. And I was on the scout team a lot of those times. So I'm with the offensive guys yeah. a lot of the time. So I know McVay's playbook in and out. Mm-hmm. Like, you feel me? Like, for real. Like, I didn't talk with McVay on some of the route concepts they didn't have. And he was like, hey, do you think we should push it up a little bit more here? Or what made you stay and sit on that route if I did this or that? And you like, well, when this happened, usually y'all do this or, you know what I mean? Giving mm-hmm. them feedback. And you can ask him. Yo, he's say so that goated, helps grow too. Yeah.
Yo, bro, I love so, McVay. You said, yo, bro, he's so goated, bro.
Yeah.
Bro, he's so goated, man. Now.
Why do you love him so much?
He's goated. But listen, I personally think, bro, when it's all said and done, like, he's probably going to, like, be, like, probably, like, with, like, the Andy Reid for, like, the greatest, like, offensive mind that I've, like, personally seen, right? Because Andy Reid's a beast as well, you feel me?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, okay, so, like, what did you find out about that trade, though? Like, the, you know, like, they probably give, like, 2 first-round picks and all, you know, like, all type of shit for, like, Matthew Stafford.
Really, it was, like, when we found out, it came across. And when I seen it, oh, they gave up X, Y, and Z. We got Matthew Stafford. Well, what's up? We got Staff. We know he can push the ball. Yeah. I mean, not because, you know, no other situation, but because of Matthew Stafford. Like, what? You know how long I've been watching Matthew Stafford play football in Detroit? Like,
golf was your boy, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. We're cool, but that's what I'm saying.
It's a cold game, man.
It's about the game at the end of the day when it comes to that. Like, you go talk to Jericho. He ain't in there politicking for Double D to stay on the team. I've been released three times since you've been here. Like, he ain't saying, hey, this dude is giving me trouble at practice.
Yeah.
This dude is giving me issues. We need to keep him on there. That's not going on. So it's not like, you know, you're not doing that. But with the addition of Matthew Stafford, you're like, what? Matthew Stafford? With McVay's offense, understanding what he does in that offense, the intricacies he brings to it, the level of knowledge he talks, the 400-level ball he talks about, with Matthew Stafford being a vet, you know they're going to elevate that off and they're going to take this to another level. So going into it, we like, let's go. We got to do everything on our end. You know, me playing defense, I'm like, I ain't trying to give up nothing. I'm trying to be on everything. Keep getting the ball back to them. I'm trying to get as many picks as I can. Many third down breakups and third down stops as I can to get them back on the field. Mm-hmm. And that was just the approach and mindset.
Man, now, once y'all made it and once y'all won, I seen you, run on the field. Now, you had to clean that jersey on, my nigga. You feel me? Clean that jersey on, remember? No turf, right?
Yeah.
But you was hurt, right, or no?
Nah. I was the fourth corner. So
damn, they wasn't fucking with you.
Yeah, nah. So, you know, in the NFL, this is how I go.
Mm-hmm.
You got two starters on the island,
yeah,
and then you go nickel package, another corner comes in.
Yeah.
So week six, our third corner, or our second corner, however you want to say it, Darius Williams, he got hurt. You feel me? Now your next corner gets to bump up, and that's when I got activated against the Giants.
Yeah.
Week six, boom, start playing. And towards the end of the season, they got healthy. Yeah, he came back. Boom. So it's just like, you next up, if anything go down, be ready. You got to go in there. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just how in the playoffs, the Arizona game.
Yeah.
One of our corners hurt his ribs in the first half. So he was balling too. David Long, he was balling, and then he hurt his ribs. And then I had to play the rest of the second half. So it's like, you never know. And how do you prepare yourself for that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To you about to be out there after, mindset wise, you wasn't going to be playing this whole week.
Yeah.
But preparation, you like, I'm staying on it. All right. If it come, it come. If it don't, it don't. And that's how the Super Bowl was. If it came in, I would have been ready for it. And if it didn't, we got the dub. So let's go. That's it. That's all about it.
Yeah, right. But like, after winning, right?
Mm-hmm.
How was that feeling? Again, I know it's probably like, impossible to even describe that feeling, man. But you there, all the homies is there, y'all LA natives, yo. How was that feeling, man? Walking on that field with your phone out, you know.
Man, it was crazy. It was real crazy, because you got to think, all them days, all them work, all that work you put in, this feels like a tangible moment for you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm grabbing this moment, even though I'm grabbing this, and I'm doing everything I can in this moment to enjoy it. And that's what I did, basically, just go around. I took pictures with fans after they in the stadium. They throwing me they phones down. I'm taking pictures with them, walking around. I'm hugging my moms, my fiance. We out on there. Brother and them, they there. Like, it's just so crazy. And then, like, the people, so there's booths at SoFi, like little clubs where you're standing, like the bars. Yeah. Went over there, then took a shot. Took a shot with them. Like, yeah, we didn't win. So it's just like, now I'm interacting with fans and the organization.
That big ass ring right there, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Man,
yeah, that ain't
man,
no
yo,
SoFi day.
Man, come on, man. Listen. Listen, yo, that shit heavy, man.
Yeah, that little thing, man.
Yeah.
So.
Yo. Is it hard to be, like, for example, right? Because when I see you mic'd up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, yo, he's out here talking, being a leader. How do you lead as, like, the third or fourth corner, my nigga? Because, like, I seen him telling niggas, yo, hey, yo, go up, hey, yo. I said, yo, hold up now, bro. Like, how are you that vocal as, like, the third or fourth corner?
So, shit, that started when I was young. Pop Warner, then got to high school. I've been a number one dude.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? I've been number one, so to say, on our teams before. Like, it's not new to me. I'm used to that part of it and knowing what it takes to win. I won before. Mm-hmm. So knowing that atmosphere, knowing when you are that leader, what it got to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not afraid to put myself out there for that role. Like, bro, yes, I have been there. And I'm not afraid to say I've been there. And I know and made it with this person, or learned from this person or that person, and these great minds of the game of football I've come across with. Like, I've taken all that knowledge and just taken all that knowledge of the game, and I apply it, and that's what I do. I just go out there and I apply myself. Like, this is me. That's this is how it is. And no matter what, nobody says, oh, you're the fifth corner, you're the sixth corner. I'm the corner that's on this active roster, right? Okay, bet. Well, yeah. This, hey, I'm helping you now. You out there. Hey, I see something you don't see. People don't know. Like, sometimes Jalen will let me know, hey, bro, be my eyes and ears. If you got anything that you see that, just holler at me. Whether he take it or not or use it or not, that's not the point.
Yeah.
It's the fact that he's trusting and allowing you to say, bro, if you see something I don't, bro, let me know. Like, that alone is respect, you know. And in our game, it is about respect. And you practice so much with these guys and you do so much that respect go a long way.
And just a little off topic, which I just had just touched on, like that Super Bowl year, like they was going crazy. Like, yeah, I know, yeah, he probably remembers, he can speak to this, but like I was literally hitting him up like beginning of the season. Did I not tell you before, like midway through the season, I said, bro, this, y'all gonna win the Super Bowl this year. Everything was lined up, and once Odell came, I felt like that was like the lab, because him and Odell chemistry already was crazy in New York. So I already figured, like, just him coming to a team, we was already stacking everything with great players already. Like, they did their thing, man.
Man, now, like, as we wrap up, right, first off, tell me more about the Good Eats. Like, what is...
Yeah.
Well, first off, who named this shit? Him or you?
Your boy.
Or you, Eats, okay.
Yeah, and it originated from the field. Like, eating, making plays, that's a good eat. You know, because everybody used to say eating good. And that's why when I tell you this, is 2014 when we... you know, came up with and actually put out. And little do you know, I got a Z on there because I was thinking, like, when you trademark something, when you do it, somebody probably already got an S, like, because it says eats. Like, you know, let's go Z. That's going to be us. Everybody going to know us because we got the Good Eats with the Z. Like, that's us. And it's eating good and Good Eats. You making plays. You doing your thing.
Yo, that's crazy. Yo, listen, only real street niggas or like, I'm that business minded, bro. Like, you feel me? All the real shit. You feel me? Only real street niggas that business minded, bro. You feel me?
Yeah, so I was on that. It was really just on that, but it's just a full lifestyle brand of everything I'm a part of, everything I do. I want to figure out how I can business minded, entrepreneur, put it into life and what we're doing, our actual life. So it's a lifestyle brand of multiple things, but get into it.
What's next though? So after the water, what else niggas got? Like the gummy snacks, the THC, the what? The runs?
What's crazy is, like, people always ask, like, oh, Good Eats, what you make? What food do you make? And it's not even that. But it's good that it take you there, because some people will say Good Eats while they eating and stuff. And I feel like that's us when you put a Z on the end of that. Good Eats, that's us. Like, you know that's us. But I'm partnering with Baker's out in the IE. So if you don't know, Baker's is a fast food plus restaurant, you know, that's only in the IE right now.
Okay.
And we're going to partner up and do a lot of different things in the community, whether it comes to food, sports, merch. Like, we're going to full house it, and we're going to be taking over the IE. And this week, we actually starting with the Don Lugo Chino High School football game. We're going to be going to that game this week, Friday. And we picking an MVP. We giving them free Baker's for a year, and we decking them out with a Good Eats Baker swag bag. You feel me? For that,
free Baker's for a year?
Yeah, for a year.
My fat ass trying to figure out
how can you get involved?
How can I play?
Good Eats is real active, real community, you know, oriented, as well as having a flag football league, you know, for the youth, and a sports agency, a clothing manufacturing warehouse. You see the hat he has on it. It's from the brand Good Eats.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
I did some merch, man. Yeah. Come on, man.
So, you know, we make all the merch. We got the machines. Okay. We created. We got some brothers in. We actually make the merch. Like, we do it. Got the machine.
Really? So you guys actually have a production?
Yeah. Actual warehouse. Inland Manufacturing Group. Yeah, so.
You own your shit.
Yeah, we actually own the actual machines and all that to produce it all. And that's what I say, lifestyle, because when it comes to sports, I want to throw football camps for the youth. Mm-hmm. I don't want them paying. I don't want them having. So make it free, and then I'm going to make all the shirts and all the merch and give it out at the events. I'm going to have all the water. It's going to be all under my brand, under in-house. You know what I mean? Good Eats over the world. Like,
yo, but, like, I heard them youth camps is brutal, though. Because even, like, Cam Newton, like, I think, like, went viral the other day. No, like,
it was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
At one of the 707s.
No. But like the kids from a
yeah,
youth camp.
Talking, that's
so shit, I
yeah,
said, yo,
that's just how
yeah,
it goes, man.
That's how it goes.
It's the outside world that looks at that from a different point of view, you know? Mm-hmm. This kid is playing sports, and if he's at this camp, he's obviously doing enough wherever he's at to be at this mm-hmm. camp. Sure. He looks up to Cam Newton, regardless of how they try to play the thing.
Yeah.
Cam Newton is acknowledging this kid, too, as well, by being in this camp.
He was
so
being
he's pressing. No, he's pressing yeah. him because I mean, of how he was trying to talk yeah. to him, right? You come yeah. in from my spot type of thing.
How? Hey, bro, listen, and he asked the nigga, yo, you're not signed for a reason. I said, yo, bro, this is crazy, bro. I'm like, bro, if I'm starting a camp, if I'm, you know, like doing a camp and like you and my camp talk like that.
Yeah.
Flocka, you start a camp, everyone's going to talk shit.
You got to know, man.
I love it real.
Man, wait,
hey,
what?
Nah, you got to be
I
on
seen
that.
Mel
oh, yeah,
Diggin.
Yeah, yeah, so this was back. This was real quick. Like, I had a nice little setup planned for y'all, but, you know, in the new space, the new rules and everything didn't allow us for one other person. So
yeah.
I had Thug Chef was coming to cater for y'all staff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so he was the one that we had to leave out, right? So
you should have told us, man. Free food would have been great.
Yeah.
So this right here is The Hood with No Engine Underneath. This book was authored by Cedil, who was just sitting there.
Oh,
my brother,
right
yeah, big
yeah,
brother.
Like I told you, he's
Wait,
involved.
Come
yeah.
so
much. This was a number. Yeah. This was a number one selling book. It's still being sold at Barnes and Noble. It's still being sold at Walmart, Amazon, etc.
Yeah.
So I brought both of y'all one. Josh, I didn't know you were sitting down until 2:02 last minute, but
it's
I still
good.
Grabbed something.
It's so. His book.
For Flocka, we run a jersey.
Woo! Yo, I'm wearing that.
Flocka, that ain't gonna fit you.
Man,
I got
that jersey.
I got
the 2X.
So,
we're
gonna have
we gotta hit it.
And then,
come on now.
NFL issue standard football, we're gonna have him sign for you as well, Josh.
Yeah.
Sign for Josh. Nah.
Damn,
I don't play football.
We gonna sign that joint for you.
Yo, this is crazy, man. Yo, bro,
it's a 2X.
Man.
I knew you was kind of putting on weight, so I was like, it should work.
Yo, bro, trust me. Listen, like my next big interview, I'm wearing this to you.
Yeah, let's do it.
Right? No, I feel like I got like somebody coming up at the end of the month. You feel me? What, yo, bro, this, yo, but bro, listen, come talk about your book, man.
Yeah,
you feel me?
For sure.
I'm trying to figure out The Hood with No Engine Underneath.
Yeah.
Powered by Over the World, man. Yo, first off, man, how do a brother from IE, from the streets, you feel me, real hustler grinding, how do you get the idea of, yo, I'm trying to be an author?
Shit, I had been like, you know, in my notes really politicking going in on this book for a while.
Yeah.
But the young homie Chip from the team, he actually published the book first. You feel me? From our city and shit from Rialto.
Yeah.
There ain't a lot of people that do that. So he published his book first and had his physical copy and all that. And you feel me? Whoa. He came up to me with his book like, hey, you know, big bro, like, I want you to have one of my books. Like, I'm like, damn, nigga, like, you did a book? I'm you know I wrote a book like 2 years ago that just been sitting in my notes. Like,
wow.
Can you help me bring it to life? You feel me? So young bro helped me bring my shit to life.
Okay.
And that's how I really got into actually bringing it to life. But it was like I just was going through the motions of, you know, being an entrepreneur, trying to make something shape, all that type of shit.
Yeah.
So I had been always writing like a empowerment entrepreneur book for, you know, niggas in our situation or anybody that's coming up. They could use that as a tool. It's just a lot of shit that helped me. 4C and shit like that I put in the book for.
Ah, game.
It went crazy
good
in
gems.
The city and shit.
Yeah, good
because
gems.
Everybody thought it was going to be some street shit. You feel me?
Yeah.
And then the title of it, as you can see the cover, but the hood with no engine underneath is like, you know, another meaning for like, you know, the head with no brain. Or you feel me? But that's actually a Nipsey Hussle lyric. That's where I got it from. But this was way before he passed away.
Yeah.
Like, I looked up to a lot of the shit he did and shit, too, so.
Man, the book is not for the blind, but for the conscious. Yo, listen, bro. I feel like y'all family got to be special, bro. Like, right? Listen, like, because to have a pro athlete, I'll be real, right? Like, Deion is impressive. But to me, like, the like most impressive nigga is the one without the athletic ability, without nothing. And, like, you just a genius, my nigga. Like, you got the water going on, got the hustle in the background going on, bro.
Yeah.
Where'd you get that, like, just that work ethic, right? Because I'll be real, bro. Like, I'm content easily. You feel me, bro? Like, right? But, like, Where did you get that like work ethic from, bro? And that drive?
Man, I just kind of like, you know, us all growing up, single mom, raised by moms, granny, our aunties and shit. Mm-hmm. We got like uncles and shit, but we never grew up with no father figure. So it's like, mm-hmm. once you know, we all one in the house, but you know, when you leave outside, you got your own homies, you got your own brain, your own mind, you free will to the world. So it's like, when I start like, you know, trying to get my own, I wasn't getting girls, wasn't fly. I ain't the flyest nigga. I wasn't the athlete, nothing. So, you know, I just always just was a sponge. You feel me? So when I started going through my life experiences, gangbanging, getting shot, juvenile hall, all this bullshit, you know, I just wanted to just lock down on something that was like true to me and shit. So I start picking up this work ethic from like being around like Hit-Boy and like the homies Audio Push and shit like that in music. I used to be in Hit-Boy's studio all the time. The nigga never left the studio every single day, like holidays. It don't matter what it is. That nigga was in the studio. So I used to see his work ethic like, damn, like this nigga don't take no days off. Yeah, so I started building out my mama garage into kind of like our headquarters and shit. Mm-hmm. So we was in the garage since like 2012 before we then got to the warehouse and all the, you know, all the luxury shit, the fly shit that we do in the
garage with the screen
printing. We was in the garage going crazy, like trying to grind it out type shit.
Listen, like, I low-key feel like we must do a part two with this nigga, bro, because this nigga got the game shot. But, bro, listen, man, before we wrap up, man, any last questions, statements, man, let them folks know where can they find y'all, what's next, you know.
They could follow us on the gram. You know, my personal page is CetoSecond, CEETLE, the number 2ND. We got OTW_collection is our brand for over the world, which where we do our thing. Then we got our Good Eats page. That's our brand. It's really OTW Good Eats. We got SBB we fuck with back home. The homies TNT, a bunch of like, you know, shit in the city and shit that we fuck with.
Yeah.
Couple rappers. You know, I got to shout out my nigga N.O. Yeah. Get up to my nigga Bands one time.
Yeah.
You know, Keezy, Clack.
Shout out to everybody, man.
Yeah, shout out to the boys back in the city. Yeah.
Everybody in the toe, man.
Everybody in the toe, man. And you know what it is. It's all love on this side, man. Appreciate y'all having me. You know, it's been a good interview. We've been enjoying it. Get to really, you feel me? Shout out, Lud. You feel me? Got to really dive in and open up about some stuff that I usually don't talk about. Like, you know. That's love. You know what I mean?
All right. And Mel got some last words or what? We're good?
Sure. All right, man. Yeah. Shout out, Mel.
All right, then. All right, man. No Jumper. Coolest podcast in the world, man. Yeah. We out of here, man.